Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, December 22nd, 2020. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Diamondback CEO, Shareholder Value Behind Deals, by Mella McEwen. Energy analysts woke up Monday morning to the news that Midland-based Diamondback Energy is making two acquisitions for a total of about $3 billion. We did not need to do either of these trades to execute our business plan, said Travis Stice, Diamondback's chief executive officer, sitting in his company's conference room. When we do a deal, it has to demonstrate shareholder value. The way we look at that is if the deals are accretive, he said. The two deals, acquiring QEP Resources for approximately $2.2 billion, including QEP's net debt, and all of Guidon Operating's leasehold interests and related assets for $862 million in Diamondback shares and cash, met that threshold, he said. These two deals are accretive across the board, cash flow, earnings, and we're able to do them within our existing drilling plans, Stice said. Even in the company's most recent earnings call, he said he was clear the company would only do deals that made the company better, not just bigger. These deals make us better because of the quality of the rock, Stice said. They improve our capital efficiency, lower our reinvestment rate, and lower our break-even costs. All of that is important to our shareholders. That's why I'm confident our shareholders have more value today after taking these trades than before. If that's the case, it's what we're supposed to do. And if it's not the case, we shouldn't do the trades. What creates shareholder value is when you can reallocate capital to high rate of return projects, he said. Andrew Dittmer, senior merger and acquisition analyst at Enverus, told the Reporter Telegram by email, the acquisition of QEP by Diamondback fits firmly within the mold established for 2020 public E&P consolidation. The deal is structured with no premium and all-stock consideration. It focuses on immediately boosting cash flow to fund shareholder capital returns and debt reduction. Diamondback also expects further support for cash flow through anticipated synergies of $60 to $80 million per year. Dittmer continued, the focus of QEP acquisition is their core acreage in the Midland Basin, supported by a significant midstream asset base. The midstream portion likely creates additional drop-down opportunities for Diamondback to its midstream affiliate, Rattler. Diamondback is considering QEP's Bakken position non-core, with a potential divestment on the horizon, pending market conditions allowing for a reasonable valuation. The second part of Diamondback's concurrent maneuvers is buying Blackstone-sponsored Guidon Energy for $862 million. Similar to acquisitions of private equity-backed companies in prior years, the buyout is a mix of cash and stock, with the value now tilted a bit more towards stock, Dittmer said. In addition, asset valuations have been reworked with a higher percentage of the total value targeting PDP and less being paid for undeveloped land in a lower rig rate environment. As to the timing of the announcements, we can't control the timing of doing deals, Stice said. We can control making sure we're ready when opportunities are presented. Here it is, 3 days to Christmas, and we're able to announce these trades because our organization was ready. I've seen in distressed times like 2020 that amazing opportunity can get created for those who are prepared, and we are. It's an exciting day for Diamondback, Stice said. The two trades add over 80,000 acres in the Midland Basin and 60,000 barrels a day of production. Stice said the new assets will be moved into the top quartile of Diamondback's portfolio. The QEP acquisition also brings locations adjacent to existing Diamondback locations to allow for increased lateral lengths and significant adjacent Permian midstream assets. The Guidon acquisition brings acreage in the northern Midland Basin and 395 gross, 324 net horizontal drilling locations. Combined with Diamondback's existing acreage, the company will now have 429,000 net acres across the Midland and Delaware basins. This article is entitled "Positivity Rate Down to Late October Levels" by Stuart Doreen. Midland Health Department reported Monday that more COVID-19 metrics are on the decline. From testing to hospital occupancy, the numbers reported are the lowest since early November and late October. Those numbers include that the 235 positive tests and the 25.4% positivity rate at Midland Health facilities last week were the lowest total since October 31st. The hospital also reports that this week started with only 18.8% testing positive. The highest positivity rate during the recent spike was 30.4% in late November. The number of people testing positive has dropped every week since October 21st from 397 to 235. While the percentage testing positive is down during each of the last 3 weeks. The percentage of active COVID patients in rooms in Midland Memorial also shows improvement. Midland Health reported that 56.6% of the 30 COVID rooms inside the critical care unit were occupied by active patients. The percentage on the medical floor was 65.3%. Including those patients considered convalescing, recovering health and strength over a period of time after the illness, the percentage of units are still below 7-day averages. Midland Health also reported that the total occupancy of inpatient rooms at Midland Memorial Hospital, 79%, is below the 7-day average, 82%, as is the percentage of total rooms occupied by COVID patients, 27%. I am extremely proud and grateful the way Midlanders have taken up this ongoing COVID-19 challenge in these most difficult days, Midland Mayor Patrick Payton said in a statement last week. Even after another setback, we have rallied together and now find ourselves in a position to open back up to 75% occupancies as well as the opening of other businesses. Though this is very good news for all of us, we cannot lighten up in our vigilance to keep fighting against COVID-19. Though there is hope of what a vaccine brings and our medical community's continued advances in treating COVID-19, our best defense is our shared defense in the ongoing practices of wearing masks, watching our distance, and washing our hands. Let us proceed with great care, caution, and compassion and not return to where we've come from, but advance from where we need to be together. Other notables from Monday's report include: the total percentage of COVID patients in MMH inpatient rooms reached 24% on Saturday, the lowest percentage since October 31st. There were 25 ventilators in use inside Midland Memorial Hospital. Only 15 were in use by COVID patients. The number of active COVID patients inside the CCU was 17, and the number inside the COVID ward was 49. The percentage of COVID patients filling up beds in the region, that includes Midland, dropped from 13.63% on Friday to 13.04% on Monday, according to the Department of State Health Services. The number of COVID cases reported from Friday through Sunday dropped 15.89% from 195 to 164 this weekend. There have been 12,355 total cases, confirmed and unconfirmed, through Sunday. This article is entitled, "Midland Gains 4 Coffee Shops, 10 Eateries in 20," by J.C. Lewis. Midland's restaurant and food scene has continued to expand this year despite the difficulties of the pandemic. With businesses being closed because of COVID-19, then reopening to operate at 50 or 75% capacity, restaurants have had to withstand a lot of uncertainty. Here is a wrap-up of the new places and things to be excited for in 2021. During 2020, Midland got 4 new coffee shops. Far West Coffee, The Human Bean, River Coffee Company, and a new Starbucks infused the caffeine scene. The Human Bean and new Starbucks have better drive-through options in terms of not being in line on a major roadway than any of the other Midland Starbucks locations. Far West Coffee and River Coffee Company have nice seating areas where owners would like people to gather. Chinese Dumpling and Dead End Food Shack were two standout new eateries. Dead End Food Shack serves up comfort food, made in new ways, and recently added brunch. Chinese Dumpling specializes in dumplings. Get the pan-fried dumplings, but also serves noodle plates and soup. Midland finally got its own Cork and Pig Tavern at Alley Village. Walk On Sports' Bistro opened two locations in the Permian Basin, first in Odessa and then in Midland. Pie Social opened downtown across from the new Centennial Park and serves gluten-free and vegetarian options by a unique indoor-outdoor bar. Juju's Kitchen has a unique ambiance with swings as chairs and access to the atrium in Claydesta Center. Juju's serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner. A native Midlander launched her own ranch water seltzer this year. It seems to be a favorite drink of country singer Parker McCollum, who has been seen with it on his Instagram. The Basement, which opened a year ago, is now an extra dining area for Opal's Table, but still serves as a bar. Amara Gelato and Cousins Creamery provided Midland with more ice cream options. Cousins Creamery offers savory waffles, and Amara Gelato has great coffee and crepe menu. The Golden Whisk and Cora's Bistro opened, and while Cora's Bistro also serves breakfast and lunch options, the pastries at both stores are a knockout. Midland even got a food truck alley to showcase local food trucks, including El Pulgarcita, the Birria Man, El Chavo, El Indio, the Michoacan, Mariscos El Chaca, Smoking and Baking, and more. Some Midlanders even got creative and started selling their home cooking and baking. Loaves Midland started baking and selling homemade bread, including sourdough loaves, while Desert Vegan has helped vegans in the area find comfort vegan food. What to be excited for in 2021? Fair to Midland has begun construction at 1115 Tradewinds Boulevard and will hopefully be opening in 2021. The restaurant concept will feature an 8,000-square-foot patio with lawn and carnival games, along with playground equipment, including a slide and seesaw. Menchie's Frozen Yogurt has put up signage next to the Little Jim Midland. The Rig Restaurant, which is 5 years in the making, will hopefully be opening its doors in the new year to bring Midlanders gourmet tacos, sliders, and a full bar. Doris J's Kitchen will be getting a new restaurant at 4200 West Illinois, Suite 160. Blue Sky of Texas has had plans approved at 3001 West Loop 250 North, Building D. The opening was delayed by the pandemic, but Midland will be getting a larger restaurant. This is the local page. This article is entitled Odessa Hospitals Receive Moderna Vaccine by Caitlin Randall. Odessa Medical Center Hospital and Odessa Regional Medical Center received their first shipments of the Moderna coronavirus vaccine and began administering those doses to employees Monday. MCH received 2,100 doses, and officials are expecting an additional 400 doses to arrive later this week, according to a hospital spokesman. A press release from ORMC stated they received all 400 of their requested doses on Monday. It's a very big day for West Texas and for the Permian Basin and for Medical Center Hospital as we get ready to turn the corner in this battle with COVID, MCH President and CEO Russell Tippin said in a Facebook Live video as staff prepared to begin administering the vaccine. He added, "It's like a Christmas miracle." Frontline workers in the COVID-19 units will receive the vaccine first, followed by other medical staff and hospital employees, Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Timmons said in the video. MCH later posted photos on their Facebook of the first employees who received the vaccine. Marty Vickery, Critical Care Clinical Coordinator, Dr. Gregory Shipke, Emergency Department Medical Director, Dr. Alexander Bastidas, Critical Care Intensivist, and Samuel Peng, Emergency Department Nurse. The remaining doses will be administered over the next few days, according to the Post. "We are in a full-fledged vaccine-giving mode," Tippin said. ORMC will begin administering its doses to healthcare workers as soon as possible, according to a press release. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohith Saravanan previously told the Reporter Telegram hospital employees who are in direct contact with COVID-19 patients will receive the vaccine first. Like the Pfizer vaccine, the Moderna vaccine requires two doses to be administered about 4 weeks apart. The state has guaranteed the second doses will be shipped a few weeks after the first round to ensure those who are vaccinated are fully immunized, Saravanan said. According to the FDA, the Moderna vaccine is 94% effective at preventing COVID-19, and the Pfizer vaccine is 95% effective. The shipment of a vaccine to Odessa hospitals came 4 days after Midland Memorial Hospital received 1,950 doses of the Pfizer vaccine. An MCH official told the Reporter Telegram they didn't receive the vaccine last week because of a paperwork error, while an ORMC official said they didn't request enough doses to receive the Pfizer vaccine, which could only be shipped in large quantities. This article is entitled PSP Road Safety Coalition Team Up to Provide Life-Saving Equipment by Mella McEwen. Just as the Permian Strategic Partnership aims to address the region's education, healthcare, and housing needs, it plans to help make Permian Basin roads safer. The partnership is partnering with the Permian Road Safety Coalition to provide almost $1.1 million in life-saving equipment to first responders in 22 counties across West Texas and New Mexico. "This plays directly into our mission," Tracy Bentley, PSP Chief Executive Officer and President, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. "Our mission is to help lend a hand as the Permian Basin becomes a world-class place to live, work, and raise a family." Scott Scheffler, Executive Director of the Permian Road Safety Coalition, told the Reporter Telegram in a phone interview the two entities had distributed about $250,000 in equipment earlier in the year before the COVID-19 pandemic shut things down. He estimates distribution of the new equipment will begin in April. Alongside the coalition's efforts to reduce or eliminate traffic fatalities by changing driver behavior, he said, "Providing this equipment will help save lives by speeding up response time to wrecks." Using Kermit in Winkler County as an example, Scheffler said it could take the county's first responders, primarily volunteer firefighters, about an hour to respond to an accident. Whereas if a Lubbock County Sheriff's Office deputy came across the wreck and had Jaws of Life equipment, he could immediately begin working to free the vehicle's occupants while first responders were on the way. "The partnership is thrilled to assist as many counties as we are able to," Bentley said. "It's important to us to be able to help law enforcement far and wide and not just focus on one area. It's also important to help rural counties stretch their resources," she said. Scheffler said area first responders help compile the list of equipment to be provided by detailing their needs. "Through this partnering, emergency equipment such as battery-powered Jaws of Life, medical supply kits, fire extinguishers, mobile lighting tools, and rescue helicopter landing zone kits and related training will be provided to first-on-scene local responders or pre-positioned closer to the remote area activities in need of those resources. Training comes along with the equipment, so we ensure proper training," Bentley said. "First responders put their lives on the line when they respond to an emergency, so we want them comfortable with the equipment. First responder agencies receiving this equipment are located in the counties of Andrews, Borden, Crane, Culberson, Dawson, Ector, Gaines, Glasscock, Howard, Loving, Martin, Midland, Pecos, Reagan, Reeves, Terrell, Upton, Ward, Winkler, and Yoakum counties in Texas, and Eddy and Lee counties in New Mexico. Said Scheffler, deputies tell me they could see a 15 to 20% reduction in fatalities because the equipment would be there. This article is entitled, City Reports 5 More COVID Deaths. Total is 36 this month. From Staff Reports. The City of Midland confirmed on Monday another 5 COVID-related deaths. The deaths reported include women, 2 men in their 90s, and a man in his 60s. All 5 Midland County residents were reported to have underlying health conditions. 4 were being treated at Midland Memorial Hospital, and 1 was being treated at Medical Center Hospital in Odessa. The 2 women died on Saturday, the men died on Friday, Sunday, and December 11th. The 5 deaths bring the total announced this month to 36, and the total during the pandemic to 181. There were 47 reported in November, according to Reporter Telegram records.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, December 22, 2020. Spiritual Consolation. The Lee High School football team prays after the area round of the state playoffs Saturday at Globe Life Park in Arlington. Lee lost to Euless Trinity 56-49. See coverage of the game and more photos in today's sports section. Chevron donates $150,000 to Emergency Relief Fund. Chevron has donated $150,000 to the Permian Basin Area Foundation's Emergency Relief Fund, which assists nonprofits in 23 counties across West Texas that have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, more than ever, a strong and collaborative philanthropic community supports and benefits us all, said Molly Legler, General Manager of Asset Development for the Chevron Mid-Continent Business Unit, in a press release. Chevron thanks the Permian Basin Area Foundation for their service to our community. During a tough holiday season for many, there is joy in knowing that there are so many local residents committed to giving back. The PBAF Emergency Relief Fund was established in 2001 to provide a vehicle through which donors may contribute financial assets for making grants to organizations that serve communities for disaster relief or emergency hardships. Since March 2020, donations to this fund have been used to quickly deploy grants to nonprofit organizations addressing immediate needs of the COVID-19 crisis. Meetings today. Midland ISD, noon, Administration Building, Room 620, 615 West Missouri Avenue. High Sky Wing hosts Christmas Lights Flights. The Commemorative Air Force's High Sky Wing is hosting the 7th annual Christmas Lights Night Flights, Friday through Wednesday. Flights on C-45 Spirit of West Texas are scheduled every 30 minutes beginning at 6 p.m. The last flight is at 9:30 p.m. Flights depart from the CAF High Sky Wing hangar at Midland International Air and Spaceport. Tickets are $75 a person, 4 seats per flight, $145 for the co-pilot seat, and $395 for all 5 seats, according to High Sky's website. Riders must be 5 years or older. All children under 12 must be accompanied by an adult. Passengers must be able to enter and exit the aircraft under their own mobility. To book a flight, email rides@highskywing.org or text 432-254-6182. Include phone number, requested dates, and time and number of seats needed. Counseling Center to recognize Samaritan Heroes. Samaritan Counseling Center of West Texas is recognizing its Samaritan Heroes with public displays in Midland and Odessa and online. Samaritan Counseling Center of West Texas annually celebrates Families of the Year and Samaritan of the Year. However, because of the pandemic, the traditional fundraiser was postponed, and a new program, Samaritan Heroes was introduced, according to a press release from the center. The program recognizes everyday heroes, someone who had performed a good deed or an act of kindness. More than 200 Samaritan Heroes will be recognized in displays at Midland Park Mall and Music City Mall. These displays will be up for public viewing through January 21 and at SamaritanHeroes.org. Midland Health has two testing sites. Midland Health has received funding from the city that will allow COVID-19 testing at two sites, Midland Memorial Hospital West Campus and MLK Jr. Community Center. The West Campus testing site will operate 8:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturdays. The MLK Center, 2300 Butternut Lane, will operate 12:30 to 4:30 p.m. weekdays. Anyone who has been exposed or is symptomatic can call 68 Nurse, 686-8773, to make an appointment at the drive-through testing site. The test is free for those who are scheduled. Insurance information will be collected from those who are insured. Health Department is providing services. The Midland Health Department is providing clinical services by appointment only. Appointments will be scheduled from 8:15 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. Monday through Friday. To schedule an appointment, call 681-7613. When it's open, Midland County Public Library, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, curbside pickup at Downtown Branch, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is the local and state page. This is the obituary column for Tuesday, December 22nd. Del Jarrett McGuire. Del Jarrett McGuire, 93, of Midland, formerly of Big Spring, passed away on Thursday, December 17th at Manor Park in Midland. Graveside service will be held on Tuesday, December 22nd at Trinity Memorial Park at 2 p.m. A memorial service will be held in January 2021. Del was born on October 5th, 1927 in Seminole County, Oklahoma, to W.W. and Belva Mae Dickey McGuire. Del was preceded in death by his parents, Evelyn, his wife of 65 years, siblings, and his son, Jerry Del McGuire. He is survived by a daughter-in-law, Claire McGuire of Gatesville, his son, Gordon McGuire, and wife, Pam of Big Spring, daughter, Diane Fowler, and husband, David Fowler of Midland, 7 grandchildren, 11 great-grandchildren, and many nieces and nephews. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle & Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Richard C. Broadway. Richard C. Broadway, age 85, of Midland, passed away Tuesday, December 15th in Midland County. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, December 23rd at Ellis Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Fairview Cemetery. The family will receive visitors from 5 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, December 22nd at Ellis Funeral Home. Mr. Broadway was born on August 9, 1935 in Bell County, Texas, to the late G.W. and Hazel Barnett Broadway. Richard met the love of his life, Jacqueline Mortashed, in March of 1974, and they were married for 46 years. He was preceded in death by his parents, 2 brothers, G.W. Broadway and Monroe Broadway, 1 sister, Marie Fletcher, and 1 son, Ralph Broadway. He leaves behind his wife, Jacqueline Broadway of Midland, daughters Valerie Broadway of California, Tammy Pollock of Nebraska, and Donna Ashmore of Midland, sons Richard Lee Broadway of Nebraska and Doug Broadway of Midland, 7 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren. Hilda K. Logan. Hilda K. Logan, 64, of Midland, passed away on Friday, December 18th. Visitation will be held on Wednesday, December 23rd, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Nellie Pickle & Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held on Saturday, December 26th, at 11 a.m. at Nellie Pickle & Welch Chapel. The family asks that everyone please wear a mask. She is survived by her son, Trenard Woodard, parents Ivian and Margie Logan, brother Michael Burton, brother Danny Logan, brother Kenneth Logan, sister Diane Lewis. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklinwell Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. James Michael Lowry. James Michael Lowry, 69, at Midland, passed away on Sunday, December 20th. Funeral service will be held on Wednesday, December 23rd at 10 a.m. at Nally Picklin Welch Chapel. Burial will be on Wednesday, December 30th at 2 p.m. at Ridgeview Memorial Park in Allen, Texas. He is survived by his sister, Carolyn New. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Maria Amparo Velasquez. Maria Amparo Velasquez, age 65, passed away December 19th. Funeral service will be held Tuesday, December 22nd at 11 a.m. at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. In keeping with her wishes, cremation has been arranged. She leaves to cherish her memories her husband, Alfredo Esquivel Soto, daughters Teresa Aguilar, Hermelinda Esquivel, Edith Velasquez, Bricia Ibanez, Mailda Esquivel, Myra Esquivel, sons Alfredo Esquivel, Aaron Esquivel, two sisters, and one brother. Arrangements are under the direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Maria Munoz Caballero. Maria Munoz Caballero, age 70, passed away December 17th. She leaves to cherish her memories her daughters Tammy Sosa, Marlena Hazelton, sons Christopher Caballero, and Randy Sosa. In keeping with her wishes, cremation has been arranged. Arrangements are under the direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Sally J. Roberts. Sally J. Roberts, 68, of Midland, passed away December 18th. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, December 23rd at Garden City Cemetery in Garden City. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. Wednesday, December 23rd at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, December 22nd, 2020, front page. Stop the spread, wear a mask. Protect yourself and others against COVID-19. Vaccine called a Christmas miracle. Frontline workers in Odessa get first doses. By Federico Martinez, FMARTINEZ at OAOA.com. Medical Center Health System CEO Russell Tippin says the hospital is in full vaccine mode after the facility received the first 2,500 COVID-19 vaccine doses delivered to Ector County on Monday morning. Hospital staff immediately began receiving vaccinations, Tippin said Monday via a Facebook Live announcement. Odessa Regional Medical Center is also scheduled to receive their first vaccine shipment on Monday, but have not yet indicated if their order has arrived. This is a big day for Odessa, Permian Basin, West Texas, and MCH as we turn this corner and in this battle with COVID, Tippin said. We received 2,500 doses this morning. We're in full vaccine mode. MCHS Chief Nursing Officer Kristen Timmons said the first doses will be given to hospital staff that work directly with COVID-19 patients, with other employees following. It will be fast and furious over the next 2 days, said Timmons, noting that the vaccination process will be slower due to Christmas Eve and Christmas Day work schedules. An ecstatic Tippin on Monday called the shipment arrival a Christmas miracle. Tippin and ORMC officials have nervously been waiting to see if their first vaccination shipments arrived as scheduled on Monday. Most other Texas communities received their first vaccines on December 14th. But due to a state computer glitch, Ector County had to wait an extra week. Local concerns mounted after reports surfaced that several communities last week had not received their December 14th shipments on time or had received much fewer doses than ordered. Midland's first vaccine doses did not arrive until December 17th. Hundreds of healthcare workers in Ector County will receive their vaccinations through Odessa's Center for Hypertension and Internal Medicine, the practice of Dr. Madhu Pamganamamala. Teja Pamganamamala, who serves as administrator and COVID-19 coordinator for his father's practice, said their focus will be on healthcare workers who don't necessarily work at hospitals full-time, but still might work with COVID-19 patients, such as outpatient clinics or people who work with hospice patients. Some healthcare employees fall in between the lines, Pamganamamala said. They will be our priority. The Center for Hypertension and Internal Medicine is expecting a vaccine shipment of 500 doses later this week. That's when the work will begin, Pamganamamala said. We hope to get vaccinations out as quick as possible. It's now a rush to save lives. Tippin said MCHS expects to vaccinate at least 1,000 employees total, with shots being staggered over several days as a precaution in case anyone suffers any adverse effects. The hospital also plans to begin providing vaccine doses to other local hospitals so that those facilities can begin vaccinating their staff. After healthcare workers, the plan is to begin vaccinating nursing home residents, Tippin said. Vaccinations to the general public will likely not begin until February or March. State Representative Brooks Landgraf on Monday praised Tippin and his staff for sharing their vaccinations with area hospitals, including those in neighboring counties that have not yet received their vaccine shipments. I want to give credit where credit is due, Landgraf noted in a press statement. Medical Center Health System is going out of its way to be a good neighbor and make sure that the vaccine needs of the Permian Basin are being met in a timely manner. Hospitals in communities such as Kermit and Monahans are not expected to receive their vaccine allotments for several more days, and rather than making them wait, MCHS stepped up to share its resources while also ensuring that Odessa's frontline medical workers get vaccinated. JP says complaint unfounded. Lang disputes homebuilder's allegation of his inaccessibility. OANews@OAOA.com. Disputing a complaint made last Thursday in Ector County Commissioner's Court by a multifamily homes construction company owner, Precinct 1 Justice of the Peace Terry Lang said Monday that he and his three clerks have been available throughout 2020 to file and adjudicate cases. Lang said the only cases filed in his court during the past 2 years by Keith Antilly of Keith Antilly Homes were for evictions in January 2019 and on December 14th, with the recent case being set for a hearing December 31st. Precinct 1 is the largest precinct, and my three full-time clerks and I have been here working from 8 to 5 all this year, Lang said, noting that the county attorney's and county judge's office have also been closed, along with his and the precinct's 2, 3, and 4 offices of JP's Missy Walden, Sherwood Cooper, and Eddie Spivey. Over the year, Precinct 1 will have over 8,000 criminal cases and over 600 civil suits filed, with revenues from fines and court costs reaching $1 million, he said. All the JP's offices are in room 208 at the county courthouse downtown. Lang said he was on his annual deer hunting trip near Garden City last week when the Odessa American tried to reach him. Antilly had told the commissioners that he had been unable to get any business transacted in any of the four courts since the COVID-19 pandemic closed county offices last spring. Their doors have been closed and their phones don't answer, Antilly said. They have not been to work. They're just staying home and drawing their checks. However, Cooper said that afternoon that he had contacted Antilli, and the businessman had stated no complaint about his court. I talked with Keith, and he told me that he had not had a problem with Precinct 3, Cooper said. So I have no comment other than to say Precinct 3 is not involved. Walden said she and her clerk had worked assiduously all year, holding hearings on Zoom, while Spivey didn't respond to a request for comment. County Judge Debbie Hayes said last week that she would tell Human Resources Director Donna James to contact the JPs about submitting a plan for reopening their offices after January 1st. The community has needs, so they need to be available for those needs, Hayes said. Efforts to reach James Monday morning and afternoon were unsuccessful. Lang said he, too, had been holding Zoom hearings and, for people who didn't have computers, in-person proceedings in accordance with guidelines issued by the Texas Office of Court Administration and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Lang said forms to file various types of cases were on a desk outside his office. Asked if he had been working at home, the JP said, "No, there would be nothing for me to do at home. I can't speak for the other precincts, but I have people here to answer the phones. I want to compliment my staff for their tremendous work ethic because they have been at their desks working hard through this whole thing." COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County, 11,354. ECISD daily cases, 3 students, 5 staff. Midland County, 9,404 confirmed, 170 deaths. Texas, 1,612,701 confirmed cases, with total Texas deaths, 26,158. U.S. cases, 17,790,376 total confirmed, and 316,844 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. 326 days. For 326 days, the city has fought a lawsuit brought by the Odessa American to enforce the state law that guarantees the public's right to see basic police records. Through December 4th, the city has spent $87,490.99 of taxpayers' dollars to fight releasing information on crime in Odessa. Empty Stocking. Want to help? Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Odessa American, 700 North Grant, Suite 800, Odessa, or the Salvation Army Community Center, 810 East 11th Street, 79761. Donate online at tinyurl.com/VH5FJDZ. Want to know more? Call 332-0738. What is it? Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2 million. Empty Stocking Funds enable the Salvation Army to provide toys and food baskets to needy families in Odessa. This year's goal is $100,000. Quick Hits. Donation Wish List. The Crisis Center of West Texas serves hundreds of clients annually, many of whom arrive at the center with nothing after fleeing dangerous or abusive situations. The CCWT are in need of donations to help give them all the tools they need to succeed in a life free from violence. Items needed: shampoo, conditioner, full-sized or bulk bottles, new yoga pants, new sports bras, women/men underwear, socks, shorts, sweats, and shirts. Household items needed: pillows, 100% cotton, white bath mats without rubber backing, white twin-sized sheets, twin-sized mattress covers, twin-sized blankets, laundry pods, phone chargers, yearly planners. Toiletries needed: brushes, shower gel, deodorant, toothpaste, hair dryers, and flat irons. Children's items: diapers, sizes 4, 5, and 6. Wipes, pack and plays, and strollers. To donate or for more information, visit ccwtx.org/donations/wish list. Or select Crisis Center of West Texas on Amazon Smile at https://smile.amazon.com/gp/chpf/homepage?ORIG=%2F. From Staff Reports. CVS Health begins administering COVID-19 vaccines. OA News at OAOA.com. Woonsocket, Rhode Island. CVS Health has formally launched its COVID-19 vaccination program for long-term care facilities whose residents have been heavily impacted by the pandemic. CVS pharmacy teams will administer the first dose of the Pfizer vaccine in facilities across 12 states this week, and the company expects to vaccinate up to 4 million residents and staff at over 40,000 long-term care facilities through the program. CVS pharmacy teams will make 3 visits to each long-term care facility to ensure residents and staff receive their initial shot and critical booster. The majority of residents and staff will be fully vaccinated 3 to 4 weeks after the first visit, depending on which vaccine they receive. CVS Health expects to complete its long-term care facility vaccination effort in approximately 12 weeks. An email from Monica Prinzing, Senior Communications Consultant, Western Region Corporate Communications, said in Texas, "This effort will begin on December 28th in more than 2,000 skilled nursing and assisted living facilities, enabling us to vaccinate more than 275,000 patients through the program. The long-term care facility vaccination effort is a precursor to the eventual availability of COVID-19 vaccines at all CVS pharmacy locations throughout the country, subject to product availability and prioritization of populations, which will be determined by states," a news release said. Chevron donates $150,000 to Permian Basin Area Foundation's Emergency Relief Fund. OA News at OAOA.com. Midland. Chevron announced on Monday a $150,000 donation to the Permian Basin Area Foundation's Emergency Relief Fund, which assists nonprofits in 23 counties across West Texas that have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. West Texas has experienced a year of challenges with both the COVID-19 pandemic and the resulting market downturn hitting the region hard. Numerous nonprofits have been impacted by cancellation of in-person events and a greater demand for services. Chevron's donation is not only a response to challenging times, but also a reflection of its commitment to Permian communities, a news release said. On the net, pbaf.org. Chevron website, tinyurl.com/y9z5w2pt. Local news roundup. Community Christmas Tree. The Pilot Club of Odessa hosts the Community Christmas Tree each year as a way to raise money to provide the highest quality therapy to the patients of Permian Basin Rehabilitation Center. For a donation of $10 or more, a light is lit on the tree in honor or in memory of someone special, and their name is published in the paper on Christmas Day. Friends and family of those honored are memorialized. Join us for the tree lighting ceremony. One rehab center patient is chosen each year to light the tree, which glows each evening from the end of November through early January. Christmas candlelight service. Hope Alive Church, 305 East 19th Street, has scheduled a Christmas candlelight service at 7 p.m. Wednesday. Visit tinyurl.com/y7fwe6mo. OANews@OAOA.com. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, December 22nd, 2020. Obituaries. Bruce C. Ray, Arlington, Texas. Bruce C. Ray of Arlington, Texas, passed away peacefully the morning of Wednesday, December 16th, 2020, and gained his heavenly wings after a lengthy illness. Prior to his final days, he was surrounded by family. He fought a hard, long fight. To know him was to love him. He was a loving and caring husband and dad, a great provider. He loved spending time with family, cooking, and listening to his favorite jazz music, and hanging out with his buddy, Smiley. Bruce was born to Wilmer Leon and Mildred Sue Ray on August 6, 1963, in Odessa, Texas. He excelled in school, played football, and ran track at Ector High School. He went on to pursue a higher education at OC and DeVry. Leaving to cherish his memory, his wife of 32 years, Carolyn Ray, and his two children, Treva Ray and Sean Ray, Lee, and four grandchildren. His mother, Mildred Sue Ray, brother Bill Ray, Annette, sisters Leslie Walker, David, Dorinda Phillips, Cassius, Gail Ray, grandmother Maggie Hunter, as well as numerous nieces, nephews, aunts, and uncles, and other family members and friends. Bruce was preceded in death by his father, Wilmer Leon Ray, brother Trevor Lance Ray, grandparents Howard Hunter, Dick, and Bertha Ray. He will truly be missed. Monica Rodriguez, Odessa. Monica Salazar Rodriguez, 85, of Odessa, was called to her eternal home on December 3, 2020, at her residence. On Wednesday, December 23rd, a rosary will be recited at 9:30 a.m. in her honor, followed by a funeral mass at 10 a.m. at St. Anthony's Catholic Church, with Monsignor Bob Bush officiating. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Los Angeles section. Monica was born on August 10, 1935, in Barrio de las Montoya, El Mulato, Municipio de Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico, the first of seven children to parents Petra Montoya and Jose Maria Salazar. On February 11, 1956, she married Jose Ramirez Rodriguez in Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico, and soon after, they moved to Odessa, Texas, to begin their married life and start a family. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Los Angeles section. Monica was born on August 10, 1935, in Barrio de los Montoya, El Mulato, Municipio de Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico, the first of seven children to parents Petra Montoya and Jose Maria Salazar. On February 11, 1956, she married Jose Ramirez Rodriguez in Ojinaga, Chihuahua, Mexico, and soon after, they moved to Odessa, Texas, to begin their married life and start a family. She was preceded in death by her parents and brothers Baltazar Salazar and Alberto Salazar. She is survived by her husband, Jose Rodriguez, sons, Jaime Rodriguez, Oscar Rodriguez and wife Amber, Armando Mondo Rodriguez and wife Rosa, Jose Rodriguez Jr. and wife Diana, daughters Josie Salcido and husband Eloy, Gracie Rodriguez and husband Tony Acosta, siblings Gustavo Salazar, Daniel Salazar and wife Balbina, Socorro Santos and husband Juan Ramon, Teresa Salgado, 15 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren, and many nieces and nephews. The Rodriguez family is eternally grateful for the outpouring of love and condolences. In an effort to comply with safety and social distancing mandates, we have been asked to limit attendance to the funeral services to immediate family. Arrangements are entrusted to Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory in Odessa, Texas. Joan Mosley Schluter, Odessa. The lady that loves to travel has just taken her last and most wonderful trip. She has gone home to her Lord. Of all her many accomplishments, her most prized was her family. Joan Whitsett Mosley Schluter departed this life on December 18, 2020. Joan was born in Clay County, Texas, to Homer and Mary Whitsett on July 17, 1935. She moved to Odessa in 1947 and has been in this area ever since. On March 6, 1952, she married Floyd Mosley, who passed away on July 5, 1993. From this union was born four children: W.C. Mosley, who is married to Alice of Gardendale; Ray Mosley, who is married to Dana of Gardendale; Deborah Perry, who is married to Danny of Whitesboro; and Dana Wiest, who is married to David of Gardendale. Joan has four grandchildren and nine great-grandchildren. In August 1999, chance brought her back to an old acquaintance, and in September 2000, she married Walter Rick Schluter in Pennsylvania. They traveled many miles and saw lots of wonders in this world. Illness claimed Rick on February 2, 2019. Joan is preceded in death by her parents, sisters Rose Pratt and Sue Huffines, husbands Floyd Mosley and Rick Schluter. Graveside service will be on Tuesday, December 22, 2020, at 1 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Vonnie Taylor officiating. Arrangements are under the direction of Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To sign the guest book, please visit www.sunsetodessa.com.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.